Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. My guest today is none other than Mario Murillo, who God has given a powerful prophetic ministry, a ministry of evangelism. And he's very concerned about what's happening in America. And we talk about the miracle that happened when an assassin's bullet missed Donald Trump. But Mario says that God has to give him an even greater miracle. Stay tuned to hear what he means. Welcome back and welcome to you, Mario Murillo. I have so much respect for you and I appreciate
Thank
you coming
you.
On my podcast. You wrote an article, an op-ed, we call it, in the journalism business that was on your website. I saw it on Western Journal and then we put it on our own Charisma News website. And the headline says, Trump will need an even bigger miracle. And you wrote this right after President Biden announced on X that he was no longer a candidate. It was before his statement to the nation, which you have and I have seen since then. It was before Kamala Harris
right.
apparently has garnered the delegates that she needs to win. So why did you write this article and why do you think the follow-up is now? Why does Trump need an even bigger miracle?
Yeah, let me answer it directly. Right after I saw the when I saw that they had gotten Biden out, I went and prayed, and the Spirit of God opened up several things to me that have come to pass, and I give God the glory. And I think that it's a warning, and everyone that's watching needs to be very sober about the actions that we need to take at this time. There are no bystanders anymore. Everyone that loves God is now in the army. The reason that I believe that he needs a greater miracle than before is that I said that the immediate change in the Democratic Party would reflect what happened in France when the conservatives won, the right won a great victory in France. And the people rejoiced, but instantly there was political maneuvering in France by the left to blunt the effect of it and take and seize power. God said, that's going to happen. And the next thing I said is that the war chest is going to fill for the Democratic Party virtually overnight. Elitist billionaires and everybody else that has a vested interest. Why does Trump need a bigger miracle? He's not running against Kamala Harris is the answer. He's not running against her. He's running against a machine, a mechanism. And its tentacles stretch into the media, into business, into billionaires, into education, into the news and the legacy networks. It's in the newspaper industry and journalism. In the information highway is largely controlled by the left still. Even though we've had breakthroughs with Elon Musk and other forms of media, and Trump is most popular among the American people. Kamala Harris is the least popular. She began with 94 staff members. Of that original 94, only four remained, and most of them left because they just couldn't stand being with her. So she is the consummate blank canvas that can be painted with all of the agendas of the left. And that's why Trump needs a miracle, because it's going to happen. And I might add, he's going to get that miracle, because that bullet missing him by a quarter inch at him moving his head at that moment was divine. And the disturbing part is people didn't recognize it. God's going to give him another miracle, and it's going to have to be greater than that one.
Well, he did recognize it because he has publicly given God glory.
Yes.
And, what we have seen is really what would be called a coup. We use that to describe takeovers in third world countries. We never use it in America. But when you get a sitting president who got 15 million votes in a primary to drop out, they basically moved him out of the way. And
they
it was
did.
Power brokers behind the scenes, some of, we can speculate who they were, but that's really a coup. And the irony is, to me at least, and I want to know what you think, is that they accused Donald Trump of being a danger to democracy. Yet it's the left, embodied in the Democratic Party, that did lawsuits to try to put their political opponent in jail. That has never happened in U.S. history, not once.
Never.
And, you know, it remains to be seen how this assassination attempt was able to happen. And then when 15 million people in our party and caucus system that we have for finding the nomination, when they all voted, or most of them voted for Biden, and he got enough vote, those votes were cast aside. To me, that's a danger to democracy. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's classic Marxist projection. Blame your enemy for the very things you are doing. We've seen it since Hillary Clinton, the Russia hoax, everything else. All of the corruption that they are actively engaged in, let's blame our enemy for that. So they said Trump is going to be a dictator. What but a dictatorship does what we just saw? And to your point, because you illustrated something very important, Kamala Harris had to drop out of the presidential race early because she had so little approval and so few votes. In fact, Bill Maher said it as a joke, but he said, listen, if you count the number of delegates, you can count the number of delegates that Kamala Harris won in the primary on one hand, assuming that that hand has no fingers. And she literally got none. And so now 14 million Democrats are being told, this is a lady you voted against. You had the choice between her and several others, and you said no to her, and you said yes to Biden. So your vote from that has been taken away. And by coronation, this woman has been put into place. And it is amazing that there isn't a massive national outrage against it. I think the most dangerous thing, and the reason that Trump needs a miracle, is the apathetic way in which the American public is reacting to this decisively tyrannical move that the Democrats have made. And every Christian needs to be aware of it. This is a party that is no longer a party. It's a cult. It is anti-Israel. It's anti-Christian. And one of her first acts as the alleged nominee for the Democratic Party is she skipped the speech by Netanyahu that he gave yesterday. She wasn't there. And she's supposed to be the presumptive representative, going to be the leader of the free world. And she's made a statement already. I am against Israel. And I really feel like that's why we need a miracle.
You know, we've been talking about politics, and a lot of Christians find politics very dirty, and it is dirty. In fact, we probably only know a little bit of really how dirty it is. But really, as believers, we believe that there are principalities and powers, not just in the government, but all segments of society. But it's manifested in political parties, with policies and people and so forth. But why do you think, with so much at stake in our culture, with the culture wars that have been going on, well, really for a very long time, but they seem to have accelerated, why do you think that so many Christians are quiet? They almost act like they're not upset about this. And why are so few pastors speaking out?
Well, I really feel like that when you read the book of Jeremiah, it says in the 5th chapter in the 30th verse, an astonishing and horrible thing has happened. It says, has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. This fits 2 Timothy chapter 4, where it talks about the last days, the same thing. We have churches built on human power. We have prophets prophesying falsely. We have a social media where it is frightening to go against the trend and what is faddish. And it is a fad to like certain Hollywood personalities, pop artists. you know, we have Taylor Swift openly anti-God, openly in favor of the leftist agenda. And so kids and people, and they look at it and say, if I go against that grain, I'm going to be persecuted. Yes, you are. But you're also going to lose your freedom, and you're going to lose your children's future, and you won't be here for the world that Kamala Harris can create. You aren't going to be here. And the idea that we should be silent comes to the point where Mordecai comes in the picture, because he looked at Esther and said, this is what's going to happen if you are silent. Okay, he said two things. God will find someone else to save the country, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. It is very interesting that Jesus said, if you save your life, you'll lose it. And that is contextually accurate for the moment we're in. If you are silent about the immoral political takeover of America, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer was screaming at the Lutheran Church in the 1930s about Hitler, if you are silent at this time, then God is going to find a way. Why? Because God made Donald Trump's head move at the exact nanosecond that it needed to move. God did that. And by doing that, God deflected the evil intention of destroying America and said, this is a man I've chosen. And you may not like him and you may think he's rough. Well, let me tell you, folks, I'm going to make this quick because I know you just asked me a very good question is the problem here. You go to a doctor after neglecting your body, neglecting your mind, and neglecting your health for so long, and then you're going to complain to him about the radical procedure that is now necessary to save your life. America has shaken its fist at God. America has become immoral. And America, God still wants to save. And you know what? A radical procedure, strong medicine, that's what Trump is. And what's so frightening is the silence of pastors the Sunday after this happened. Point being, El Shaddai does not just do a miracle and then stop. Trump is going to get another miracle. God finishes what he starts. But woe unto those who are silent in the process of God's redemptive work for American freedom. God help the pastor who is neutral when they don't understand that neutrality at this point is disobedience to God's side of the story. And there is no silence allowed. And that's, I think, really what Mordecai was trying to say. Look, if you're silent, you're telling evil. You're complicit. You're in this. And God will punish you. There isn't a megachurch in America that isn't being shaken right now for various reasons. Immorality, materialism, false doctrine, entertainment. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And God has displayed front and center his choice by this miracle. And we have got to speak out.
If so few pastors spoke up, what do you think that they should have said the day after this happened?
They should have stood before their people and said, folks, normally I don't get into politics, but I want you to understand that as your pastor, they jumped the fence and they're coming after our children and coming after our freedom of worship. They're trying to shut down our church. And I need to tell you as your pastor, how can I be your pastor and not care about the things that actually affect your life and your future? And this does. This is the indoctrination of your children. This is the destruction of the economy and your future dreams by a regime that hates God. And therefore, I'm publicly telling you, God demonstrated himself yesterday by sparing the life of, yes, a controversial politician. But there is no doubt that God made a statement. And now evil is making a statement. So as your pastor, out of love and my loyalty to the word of God, I'm telling you, We need to galvanize behind what God is doing. We need to register to vote. We need to be actively engaged in influencing local politics on school boards and in other forms. And we cannot sit back any longer. And in the coming days, as your pastor, I'm going to educate you on the issues. And if that means some of you will leave, it'll break my heart. But I can't, in good conscience, allow this evil to go unchecked and for you as my congregation to be unprotected.
You know, I've studied Donald Trump. I've interviewed Donald Trump. I wrote a couple of books like this one, God and Donald Trump. And I'm very aware that there are Christians who don't like Donald Trump. In fact, early on, I didn't. I was a Ted Cruz guy myself. I didn't like the fact he had multiple marriages, that he made a lot of his money in gambling, all kinds of things that my nice little Pentecostal church didn't approve of. But what I've learned, and I'm pretty sure you agree with me, is the things people don't like about Donald Trump is that he's a disruptor. Maybe he's a little bit harsh or something. But, you know, I believe, and I know you believe, that things are so bad. What we need is a disruptor. Anyone who's less disruptive won't get anybody's attention, won't rally support behind him. I've been encouraged to see all the people, Elon Musk, people like that, that haven't really supported Trump in the past, are beginning to come around. Do you see a shift beginning to happen? I'm asking in the general culture, but also, is anything happening in the church, or is it just the same old of, you know, don't talk about politics and don't even mention voting?
You know, the reason that some of these people are coming over to the side of Trump is that they have inside information. They know things that most people don't know. I mean, you don't become the richest man in the world without information. And the businesses and the inventions and everything and the far-flung thing. But Elon Musk recognizes what the left has done to America. In a recent interview he did with Jordan K. Peterson, he talked about, my son no longer exists because he was given transsexual advice. And Elon Musk sat there under the counsel of these people that said, your son may commit suicide if you don't allow him to transition into a woman. And Elon Musk, at that point, he bought into it. And he allowed it to happen. He said it was the greatest mistake of his life. And the lie that transgenders' suicide rate is lessened because they go through the transition, scientifically disproven. It is totally wrong. So what they're aware of is the other thing that was buried, Steve, and that was, what was America like in the 4 years that Donald Trump was president? We were not in a war. We were buying gas at less than $2 a gallon. Inflation was almost zero, and the economy was booming. And for black people, brown people, inner city minorities thrived under his presidency. Now, how could that be bad? It's bad because the global elite felt like this man is saying America first. And we need American exceptionalism to be blunted so that they fall into the line of the international community. We need one nation for the whole world. And Trump said, you're not going to do that to America. That's what they hate. That's what they hate the most. And yet, God's hand is on this. We see similarly, the same way that there can't be a two-state solution for Israel, because the people of Palestine have yet to repudiate Hamas. And the only philosophy at this point is that Palestine shall be free from the river to the sea. That's the eradication of Israel. They're devoted to that. And we have to understand this. What we're hearing is this. The new world that they want means that Israel ceases to exist and America loses her independence and identity and becomes part of the global village. And Trump saw that, and they hate him for it.
Well, the debate was 4 weeks ago today, if I remember correctly. Since then, there's been this failed assassination attempt on Donald Trump, a great Republican convention, the best one I've ever watched, and I think I've watched all of them over the years, and I watched the Democratic conventions too. Then the president of the United States, who said he, you know, as recently as, 72 hours before he dropped out, he'd never drop out. I mean, I've been watching politics, as I've covered politics as a journalist all the way back to college years. I've never seen anything like this. Mm-mm. It just, we've never seen so many things happening. Why do you think is going to happen next?
I truly believe that there is a remnant in the body of Christ, and they go to meetings, they go to Christian concerts, and they walk out, Steve, and they go, this is not it. This isn't it. There's something more. And I think of early Pentecost, really, because I really believe, you know, I am a out-and-out Pentecostal evangelist. Without a doubt, card-carrying, I am that guy. And early Pentecost was a movement that was largely driven as the second wave, the charismatic movement, which God used you in significantly, was people getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. We didn't have time to get organized. We didn't have time to police everything, control it all, organize it. It was a movement. And right now, there's an army of God rising up in America. And it's an unlikely combination of patriots and spirit-filled believers. And they're saying, I'm tired of not hearing the Bible preached in church. I'm tired of not feeling the presence of God. I'm tired of worship that it seems more to just be obsessed as an end in itself, and it's not directing me to God. So these people are comparing notes. Pastors are fasting and praying. And yes, we have a strange new development, Steve, the Gen Z pastor. This is even younger than we have seen before. These young men and women are rising up and starting churches. They meet in schools. They meet in theaters. They meet in some in homes. But it is a growing, explosive trend in America, and it is based on this one simple idea. Christianity does not need derivatives, accoutrements, add-ons, additives, dilution of any kind. We just want God. I really believe that that remnant is going to have a significant role. You know, you have to remember, Steve, that Esther came out of nowhere. I mean, she was the last possible thought in the mind of a nation that had 2,000 women vying in the beauty contest for the role that Esther finally won. And she rose out of nowhere. Well, that same inclination is what I feel, a youth movement and the elderly. I'm telling you, old people right now, some of them, you know, they're saying, you know, I'm not here to gum applesauce at Leisure World. I'm supposed to be used of God. You know, I've been reading Billy Graham's book, Nearing Home, and it's the most exciting, explosive insight that old age is a time of productivity, creativity, and we're going to go out. If we're going to go out, we're going to go out in a bang, not in a whimper. And I really believe that's the miracle that I'm fighting for. That's why you see our tent crusades are overflowing. And you look at it, Steve, and you'll see the young and the old, both with their hands raised and tears flowing as they're watching drug addicts, prostitutes, cancer victims touched by the power of God. And it's epidemic. And I'll tell you what, there's no atmosphere like a tent. There's none. It just feels like a movement. And I'm only a very tiny part of what God is doing in the nation. But I believe there's going to be a confluence of the patriot and those who are prophetic in the right way, evangelistic, on fire. And that's going to make the difference, because they're going to pray and God's going to hear.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank you, as we wrap up the short podcast, for being such a bold voice and bringing clarity to things that we don't understand. People who agree with this, you need to put this on social media. Let's get out the word. You know, we have to kind of go around the powers that be, because even the conservative media doesn't really consider the power of God or the spiritual aspects of what we're talking about. So we need to amplify voices like Mario Murillo. And Mario, as we wrap up, I'd like for you to pray powerfully for my viewers and listeners on what we should do next.
Lord Jesus, no one who is watching right now is watching by accident. You move them to see this podcast, and you're going to move others to share it. And I pray that discouragement will be wiped out, fear and confusion will be wiped out, and that everyone watching will experience a healing in their body that will verify to them, God has just removed my sickness so that I might be more armed and dangerous in the cause of God. Let all of the people who are watching right now be touched on the level of their need. If they need Jesus, reveal yourself to them and give them a new birth. If they need the baptism in the Holy Spirit, God, pour it out. Jesus, you are the baptizer. Let demons be cast out, miracles happen, and a widespread general awakening in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you for watching. Be sure to share this with other people. We need to get the word out. And if you don't subscribe to the Strang Report, please do so. If you agree with what we're doing, you need to subscribe and hit the little bell so you know when we're on live on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Thank you for watching. Until next time, God bless you.